You're listening to For the Show We Go Baseball Podcast.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 73 to the show we go. I have Jamie Gatlin with myself, Andrew Parker. Today's episode, we have we're dipping into another system this offseason. I think he might be our first member of the Blue Jay system this offseason. He's a guy, we just talked a lot off air. He's a 6'8" guy, so it's a little closer to my heart. He's currently, he finished up the 2023 season in AAA for the Blue Jays up in Buffalo. It's Hayden Yeager. Now, Hayden, we just talked off air quite a bit, and I'm going to probably ask you about a little bit of that stuff again later on. But you're into spring training. You were an NRI this year. I did watch a video that the Bison actually uploaded today of you catching up with Pete, but I don't want to make you repeat yourself like what you did in that conversation, but how has spring training gone for you this year?
Yeah, spring training's honestly been great for me this year. Last year was also a non-roster invite, first time. So it was kind of, you know, last year I didn't really know what to expect. I was kind of new to everything. Just kind of didn't want to step anybody's toes. And just I was kind of quiet, which I mean, I'm a quiet, reserved person in general. But when I get on the baseball field, all that stuff kind of goes away. And I kind of come out of my shell a little bit, but last year I really didn't, and you could tell, like, I was kind of just playing, I wasn't playing relaxed, wasn't pitching relaxed, was kind of stressed a little bit. This year, coming to camp, completely new year, restart, and honestly, it's, like I said, just been great. I've been way more relaxed and just back to kind of, like, feeling my old self and attacking hitters and just having, I'm having fun again, which is always good. I enjoy being out there. I enjoy competing. So, like I said, spring training has been great.
You've had a pretty successful spring, I would say. I was kind of peeping the stats. I know, like, it's spring training, like, whatever. Like, you know, stats aren't really I know that you shouldn't base an opinion based off of spring training stats. I'm in that camp. I know some people do weigh a lot on it, but what kind of things have you seen from yourself? Like, have you been working on any of your pitches this spring training? Have you, like, what have you been working on and what have you seen so far from yourself?
Yeah. I kind of throw a flashback a little bit to last year. I had, like, a lot of trouble. I grew up more hits last year, and it wasn't necessarily, I lowered the home runs and the extra base hits, I guess you could say, from 2022. But I walked guys last year. And so coming in like spring training this year, I wanted to focus on a couple of things, and it was just attacking the strike zone, being competitive. If they got on base, I want them to get hits. That's kind of my motto this year, is just like, get ahead. If they get on base, let it be like by they earning their way on getting a hit, don't walk them. So really put an importance on first pitch strike, 2 out of 3. Just kind of stay ahead. But I think to credit that going forward, or even more, would be we revamped my slider a little bit. Ever since I got into Pro Bowl, I've been just like fastball changeup, and this, hitters know that reports, like, use my fastball a lot, change up off of it. Slider is good, but it had to be executed every time. If it wasn't, then it wasn't really a great pitch. So essentially what we do is just we made my slider a cutter. I started throwing it harder, and then I started throwing a curveball that sometimes can be a slurve, but it's basically I get all four quadrants. I get up in the zone with my fastball, changeup, cutter, and then something I can go below the bat with my curveball now. And I think what I've found is I'm not using my fastball as much, and I'm using my cutter and curve more. And what the cutter's doing is just getting 0-0, you know, 1-0, 0-1. It's getting early contact and counts, and it's right now it's resulting in ground balls. Unfortunately, this spring training, like on the early in camp, or early in the games, I guess you could say, I give up 3 home runs, but 2 of them are off fastballs, and it was just kind of like I didn't hit the panic mode, where before I would get all kind of worked up. It's like, man, I'm giving up home runs. Why am I going with these home runs? And in reality, it's just like, hey, it's, you know, it's early in spring training. You're trying to get your feet wet. They're trying to get their feet wet. Like, I don't want to walk guys, so I'm challenging them. And but now we're later in a camp where it's like, okay, if it's 2-0, 2-1, 1-0, I'm not – they're not fast. It's a fastball count, but I'm kind of just pitching backwards, if that makes sense, which I think pitchers need to do anyways to get hitters off the fastball. So I think that's kind of what where I'm at right now with it. It's I'm getting into good pitchers counts, but I'm using my cutter and curveball in different situations than I would in the past. Well, I didn't really have the curveball, but using it differently.
So that I'm curious about something. I haven't had the chance to like look it up either, but I did see that over the past 2 years, last year in Buffalo and then the year before, which I did pick up from that interview with when you were being interviewed by Pete there with the Bison, that you came in like over 50 times, which was like a record or something coming out of the appearing there in Buffalo. But it says on here, you've made, I think you made 17 starts in New Hampshire in 22. And then you made 5 starts. I don't know if that was just being an opener at all. I haven't looked into that, but was it being an opener?
So basically what happened was I got drafted as a reliever out of Missouri State. 21, they were like, hey, I mean, in 2021, I only threw 20 innings in college. So wrapping up my college career, I only with COVID because of COVID in 2020, I think I threw 87, 86 innings in my college career. So, you know, some guys are eclipsing that in 1 year as a starter. So to be, for me, like to be drafted where I was drafted at and, you know, kind of have the path I've had, I've been pretty grateful for it. But with that all being said, they drafted me in 2021. I was like, hey, just go out and play. And high, like, you're going to go to high A. You're just going to pitch 2 or 3 times a week, 2 innings. And that's going to be it. Or like 2 innings each outing. That's going to be it. Don't take too much stock into it. And I was just like, all right, whatever. I'll go out there. And so I'm sitting there in Oregon just sitting, you know, hey, I'm going to throw 2 times this week. Whatever happens, happens, you know. And little did I know I was going to do what I did for the month and a half I was there. Fast forward, coming to spring training in 22, they were like, hey, we think we're going to start you. And I was like, okay, see if you can do it. Little did I realize it wasn't really like, at first we were like planning on me being like a full-on starter, but then they're like, I think your stuff plays better if we just use you in like this bulk term role where it's, hey, you know, you could go 4 innings, you could go 2 innings, you could go 5, you could go 3. And so in double A, I was essentially starting, but I would only go 3 to 4 innings max. So that's if you go back and look at it, it's a lot of 3 or 4 inning outings. But it was, that was more so just for me to get innings because I needed to get innings. Like they're like, you know, you have good stuff, but we do like for your development, it's just face hitters and whatever happens, happens. And then when I got to Buffalo, it was still kind of the same thing, but where the Blue Jays were at in 22, it was kind of like in the big leagues, I'm saying, before we made a couple of trades, like our bullpen depth wasn't great. And so they're like, we'll see, you know, yes, I'm still 21 at this time, but it was like, hey, like you're having a pretty good year, move you to Buffalo. Yeah, kind of do the same thing in Buffalo, still pitch well. And it was like, hey, you know, maybe you'll find yourself, move it up, whatever happens, happens. So I still kept throwing those roles, made a couple spot starts. And then last year it was just, we had 2 starters and I was kind of that same role. And they're like, hey, you know what? You're going to open for us, go 2 or 3 innings, whatever.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't look into like the game logs or anything to see like if it were like 3 inning outings or whatever, but that makes a lot more sense. So coming into camp in 24, did they not like that they would lay out an expectation with you, but is it more of a thing where it's like, okay, like you're not going to be used like as an opener to get innings type thing. Like you're just strictly going to be used out of the bullpen.
Yeah, I think this now going forward, I think it's going to be more, I'm not going to rule it out that I might not open if the opportunity arises. Because I told them, I was like, I don't really, I'll do whatever you want me to do. But at the same time, it was more like, hey, you know, I think it's going to be 1 to 2 inning outings, 3, or, you know, if it's 1 inning, it might be 3 to 4 times a week, mix in a 2 type thing. But definitely more like reliever type role than starter. Or opener.
we say that now, and then come 2 weeks from now in Worcester, I'll see you start the game.
Yeah, right.
I'll come up to you and be like, man, yeah. We just talked about this. But,
yeah.
Jamie, I'm sorry, I've been hogging the mic here. I got to text our good pal Sam Weber to see if he's got any good gossip or juice on Hayden. So you can take the mic for right now.
That's good. That kind of leads me to my question. So I got 9 save opportunities in the minors. How'd you like, you know, being in the closing role, especially compared to, like you said before, having kind of a bulk role too and kind of having different roles in the bullpen?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, it fits my mentality a little bit. I have this bulldog mentality on the mound where I want to be in the high stress, high pressured situations. And like I was in college. So I think that's something that the Blue Jays knew that they knew I could handle it. And I think for what the Blue Jays want me to do, and they've been honest and upfront with me, was they just want me to see me do everything. And that way, you know, if the time comes where they need something and the opportunity arises for me to be in the big leagues, like it's not a shock when I'm, you know, obviously I won't be closing right away. Like I'm not saying that, but it's one of those where, hey, you know, if you need to pitch in the second inning or you need to pitch in the ninth inning, you're not naive to either situation. And it's, you know, it's, you've been there before. Whereas sometimes these guys go up, you know, what I've seen or what heard from what they've told me or players have told me is, you know, you got a closer in AAA, and then all of a sudden you get called up and you're not closing anymore. You're coming in the fourth or fifth inning and it's a completely different situation. The game's completely different versus, you know, the ninth inning in Buffalo, which you can never prep for what it's going to be like in the big leagues, no matter how many times you try. It's just not the same from what I've been told. But, you know, from being in that situation, they're trying to get me to where I can handle any situation. And I've been there to some extent, if that makes sense. But like I said, I mean, I like closing out games. I think it's great for I think every pitcher should try it at least one point, because it definitely, I will say, you know, when you go from playing high school baseball and whether you're playing, you know, class 1A, class 5A, 6A, whatever it is, it's a lot different to get those last 6 outs than it is to get 21. It's hard to get, you know, what, 27 outs than it is to get 21 outs.
Did you have a walkout song for that, the few chances that you got for it?
Yeah, I mean, I have the same walkout song every time. I've had it since my freshman year of college, and it's Loud and Heavy by Cody Jinks. I'm a huge country guy. I love country music, and it just kind of fit, you know, as a closer. Like, we were in my freshman year of college, a couple of buddies were like, you know, I think it fits you a little bit because it's just right off the rip. It's an upbeat country song, and a lot of people don't really know it. And it's one of those, like, it's like a definitely a closer type song where I just kind of carried it over in a Pro Bowl.
Yeah. Always, we've had a couple kind of closers on the show. I always love asking guys that, just because I feel like it's something so unique to that person. It's, even though it's just like 30 seconds, everyone has their own kind of, you know, thing that puts them up for whatever reasons.
And I think, you know, you can go around and look at the closers, but there's an edge to them all. There's something different about each one. Like, we're a little bit of psycho. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, we're some psychos out there.
Yeah. So I was wondering, you know, going back to when you were drafted, how do you say you've changed as a pitcher during your time in the Blue Jays system?
I would say I learned how to pitch more. In college, I was successful. You know, Missouri Valley Conference is a good conference. By no means is it a cakewalk. Hitters are good. Pitchers are good in that conference. But I had a good fastball and I had a good changeup and I called it a slider, but I don't know what it would be. It was just kind of something that moved the other way. It wasn't great. But I could just, I got away with just blowing heaters by guys and then mixing in off speed pitches. Right. I think one of the scouts told me, I don't know if it was the Blue Jay scout or if it was Matt Huck or if it was somebody else, but my total fastball percentage at the end of the year was like 91%. Like, I was 91% fastball. So odds are you're getting a heater. And I say successful because guys just couldn't hit it. Like, it was overpowering, which is great. But when you get in a pro ball, hey, guys can hit no matter how hard it is, you know, guys can hit the fastball. So I knew right away, like, I had to work on my off speed stuff. And I would say I became more of a complete pitcher each year. And then last year, kind of going through the struggles I went through, which I think, you know, some guys would be like, you know, it sucks to struggle, which it does. I'm not going to sit here and say it doesn't. But I'm very blessed and fortunate that it happened. And I went through it to understand, you know, how to grow as a pitcher, how to handle some failure, how to go through stuff like that, because it's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be great every time you go out to the big leagues, or not always going to be easy in the big leagues.
I actually did just get a text back from our guy, Sam. Shout out Sam Weber, Triad High School pitching coach, and one of the best minds in 618, honestly. But you guys just talked this morning.
We did talk this morning.
All right. Well, that's that's a small world then.
Yeah.
But he's hyping you up right now. I'm like, I already know who he is. But I told him, I was like, I'll see you in person in Worcester. I think that's what, the second series of the year.
It's the second series. Yeah. We open up at home for three, and then I think we come to Worcester.
Okay. Yeah. I'll see you then. But sure. I was thinking about something too. And I'm feeling like we were talking off air a little bit about some of the guys like coming through, and you know, you were like, oh, well, you know, Tanner Houck was 2014 grad. So he was like a senior. I was in eighth grade. I'm like, holy cow. Like, I'm a year older than him. So I'm pretty ancient compared to you. I did see the year you were born. It was 2000, Jamie. That's, yep.
Now I feel old. I felt a lot older than I did like 20 minutes ago.
Oh, dude. Yeah. So I do want to point out something though. So you are fairly young for being in AAA. Like I was just hanging out in a AAA locker room last year, and I was like, you know, I was older than a lot of, I'm 29, but right. I'm older than a lot of the guys. But there were still some guys that were like, you know, there were still some vets in the room. There was like Greg Allen and Jorge Alfaro and guys for like sure. that.
Yeah.
Like, older than me. But for your age being in AAA, like that's quick. Like I feel like mm-hmm. that's not a normal thing. So did you ever, like, once you got to AAA at such a young age, did you kind of notice that at all?
So I'll kind of say this. Everything happened so fast. Yes, I knew it. Like going to the draft in 21, I knew I was young. I was still 20 during the draft because my birthday's in August. But I didn't really realize, you know, I don't think people realize that I was drafted in July of 2021, and by July of 2022, I was in Buffalo. At the end of July, I was in Buffalo. So it took me 1 year. I didn't play low A or rookie ball. They sent me straight to high A. And I just kind of performed well, I guess you could say. Like, just kind of, and to me, I was just doing what I loved. I didn't think anything of it. I didn't view it as a job. It was, hey, I'm going out, getting to do what I love to do, play baseball as a job, you know, go have fun with it. 2020, and then double A, kind of the same thing. Like, that Eastern League, there was a lot of guys that were 20, 21, 22, 23, but we were like, there's a lot of guys that were younger in that Eastern League in 2022. But then when I got moved up to AAA, I would say I was a little naive of it a little bit at first, because I was like, oh, it's just, hey, you're a step away from the big leagues, but hey, at the same time, you know, you're just playing baseball, still having fun. I remember actually pitching in Worcester for the first time, my first at bat, and or my first guy facing AAA in Buffalo was Tristan Casas. And so it wasn't, for me, it wasn't weird, because Casas graduated high school in 2018. So it was like, hey, I'm at the same level as these guys that got drafted in the first, second round out of high school, same draft class. So to me, it wasn't necessarily weird. Right. But I think the first weird one was when we played Syracuse in 21, and I faced Dominic Smith. And it was just knowing that, like, hey, you know, this guy's been in the big league. Like, he was like the first big leaguer that I had faced that had time and some substantial time in the big leagues. Had a really good rookie year, I believe. Stuff like that, right? Where it's like, okay, like, this guy's a good, he's a big leaguer. And, you know, I faced, and it just started popping up. It was like, okay, big leaguer, big leaguer, big leaguer. I was like, okay, this is reality now. But no, I mean, I think for me, I was just kind of taking it all in. And I knew as a young guy, like, especially in your first year in AAA or first, you know, couple months, you know, you just don't talk, keep your mouth shut, listen, just kind of go out about your business in a professional manner. You earn the respect of the vets. And that's kind of what happened. Like, I'm not a loud guy by any means, keep to myself. So I think from that aspect, it was nice. But the Blue Jays also had a really good group of guys when I first came up that kind of took me under their wing, especially from spring training. You know, I wasn't in big league camp, but I had played with a lot of them once they either come down from big league games or I was in the AAA working group in 22 or yeah, in spring of 22. So I knew a lot of them.
So you brought up something that I had heard a lot about this past year. So you bring up the Dom Smith thing and that you remember the Dom Smith, like being the first guy you faced with big league time. Yep. So fast forward to now, and yeah. We had actually another St. Louis guy come on the show, Michael Plassmeyer. He was with the Phillies for the past few years, and he had brought this up as well. But there was also a guy that's pitching in Worcester right now, Grant Gamble, and he it was so weird. Like he had just faced Norfolk. You know, they had that insane run last year. They were loaded.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness! I'm sure you probably faced them.
We played them the last. They were our last series of the season. So okay. We played them when they were loaded with their prospects.
Yeah. So I think they were in Worcester two series. I think they may have been in Worcester the series before that.
Yeah.
They won five out of six. They steamrolled. But it was so funny, though. This guy, Grant Gamble, he tells me, you know, I ask him, I'm like, hey, what was it like facing all of like the top prospects in baseball in one lineup? And he was just like, I couldn't even tell you like who they were, where they were ranked or like any of that. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, you don't know who Jackson Holliday is? Well, he's like, I know the last name, but he's like, other than that, like, are you one of those guys? Not like where you're so naive that you don't realize it, but are you one of those? It's like, I don't care that guy now has like 4 years of big league experience, or I don't care that guy's like the top 10 prospect in the game. Like, you kind of treat everybody still the same.
So here's what I've come to notice that works best for me. And double A, I'll say this, and it's no disrespect to you, but we're all professional baseball players. We're all the best in the world. Like, in my opinion, like to play professional baseball and affiliated ball, it's very hard. Right. But for me, when I would face these big name prospects in double A, I didn't care who they were. I was a prospect myself, like didn't really care. Right. Like, and then I would face, you know, I would get down the lower bottom of the lineup and that's where I would struggle because I would just groove one and then next thing I know it's hit over the fence and it's like, what just happened? Like, because you kind of put all your focus on certain guys in a lineup, which is important to an extent, but just know like all of them guys are good baseball players too. Fast forwarding to now, like I know the names, but like for me, it's one thing as a pitcher too, like if you go down and say, hey, like, no, this is such and such, or this is Jackson Holliday, the number one prospect. Like, I feel like you can fall into the trap of like psyching yourself out a little bit, where in reality, it's like your team or your affiliate would, or your organization wouldn't have you with that affiliate if they didn't think you were good enough. And so to me, it's like, don't doubt yourself just because you're facing, there's a guy in the box that's nationally known or is a number one prospect or has 4 or 5 years of service time. Like, because guess what? When you get to the big leagues, they're all big league hitters. No matter if it's, you know, Acuna, Vladdy, whoever, Bryce Harper, Mike Trout, it doesn't matter. Or if it's a utility guy, like he's still a good baseball player because he's in the big leagues, right? So you still have to make your pitches. And I think that's where a lot of guys go wrong is they psych themselves out a little bit because you get you kind of put yourself in this hole where it's like you put these guys on a pedestal. In reality, they're just baseball players just like you. And, you know, yes, they've had a little bit more success and they've had this name to them. They've been, you know, the media's following them around, but at the same time, like, you're still just as good. You're a professional, you're a major league baseball pitcher. Like, you're a major league baseball player. You're a professional baseball player just like they are. So I think for me now, I'm kind of by the kind of fan, you know, following like a fantasy of who it is, if that makes sense. Yes, you still have the wherewithal. I'm pretty good with like knowing who's hitting, and like I faced Jackson last year. Great, great kid, great, you know, great baseball player. But it was one of those like, okay, like, hey, like it's just another hitter in terms of like, don't psych yourself out because it's Jackson or because it's, you know, Connor Norby or Kobe Mayo or Stowers or whoever it may be in that lineup, or you face a guy that has big league time. Like, it's just another hitter. Like, you can't. To me, that's how I do it.
So let me ask you this, though. yeah. say you it's a team you're facing, you might have a young pitcher coming in there. You guys have a guy in your lineup named Joey Votto. Do you think do you think some pitchers though might feel
100%? 100%. I was gonna bring it up, like, and it's, I think last year me would have been like, oh man, that's Joey Votto in the locker, like that's cool, like, and it is cool, right? Like, you know, especially growing up in St. Louis, being a Cardinal fan, like seeing, you know, he's on the Reds for however long he was, like, you know, it's cool, but at the same time, it's like, don't fall into that fandom of, yes, like, it's cool. It's, you know, I see Vladimir Guerrero, I see Bo, I see all these guys, Romano, you know, Gausman, every single day. And now I have a good relationship with them to where it's just, they're teammates now, right? They're not to an outside fan, it's, oh my gosh, look who it is. To me, it's just, hey, it's like, you know, he's a teammate of mine, good friend, you know, good buddy. And it's one of those things that you look at, and, but I can definitely see where, like, younger guys, especially in the game, are like, oh, it's such and such that's been around for a while. And I think it's granted for the respect they have, you know, for this game's hard. And when you get guys that have played for 10 plus years at a high, and it's not, you know, they never fall off. It's year in, year out, they're putting up these numbers. You have a certain amount of respect for them. So I think it is, you still respect them and you respect the name, but I think you just have to, you know, tell yourself, hey, you belong. You're, you know, I'm not gonna say you're just as good because, you know, you're younger, but at the same time, like, you are good enough to play at that level.
Has Gausman given you any advice that kind of stands out?
I mean, I think you pick bits and pieces from everybody, if I'm being honest with you. The Blue Jay, like, I mean, I'm sure every org is like this, but I feel like we as a pitching group, and especially as, like, being a part of the bullpen, like, hanging out with those guys, but as a staff, we do a really good job of watching each other's bullpens. And so, I mean, yeah, there's stuff I pick up from everybody. Gauzy's great. I mean, I think a lot of it's just mental. It's figuring out, you know, how to overcome the mental challenges, because, and let's be honest, when you're in AAA, you're pretty close. I mean, in my opinion, it's the big leagues without the third and fourth deck, if that makes sense. Every player is really good, just looking for an opportunity. But it's just, how do you overcome the mental side of it?
How has I got to ask, getting a front row seat of Ricky T, is that something that it's fun to watch?
It's awesome to watch. But the best part about it is, like, from the outside perspective, everybody's like, oh, it's this electric, you know, number one Blue Jays number one prospect. But, like, the dude he is off the field is, I mean, he's one of my really good friends. Like, we got drafted together. And I would say that's something about with our draft class. We're all very close. You know, like, our lockers are right next to each other in spring training this year. So, like, I literally talk to him every day. And so to me, it's like, that's another thing, right? It's like, to some people, it's like, oh man, this is, you know, whatever number prospect he is in baseball, the number one Blue Jays prospect. But to me, it's just like, oh yeah, it's Ricky. Like, Ricky's just doing Ricky things. He's going through throwing a baseball, doing, you know, here it is, you know, 95, 97, 98, 99, whatever, with a six slider and changeup. Like, he's going to be really, really good.
That is one of my favorite left-handers. I think I saw in all of minor league baseball last year.
So. Yeah, no, he's awesome.
I'm excited for him this year. I would see him pitching in Worcester to start the year. So that would be something for people to see. But
yeah, no, I mean, I don't think nothing's been sent out or anything. But
yeah.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not telling you to go out there and tell me where he's going or any of that, because I'm sure you probably don't even know that.
Yeah, I don't know where I'm going.
All right, Jamie, I have some speed run non-baseball related questions unless you have something before I dive into these.
Yeah, I got two more baseball ones, then one March Madness / non-baseball one. But first, the final two, if you could pick out, like, your favorite baseball memory from your career, what would it be, whether it's college or minors?
I would say my first outing in professional baseball. It's a little nugget that just doesn't happen much. I used the same ball for all three outs. Not one foul ball was, like, there wasn't a foul ball.
Well,
we play on a turf field, so, like, umpire, like, I struck, I think I struck the first guy out I faced, and I had a catcher and they're like trying to throw the ball. He never did. I never did. So I think like that's pretty cool. I have that baseball too. And so to have, you know, the ball from when I came into the game to essentially my end of my first inning, I have that. I would say my first double outing was pretty cool. I think that's still the most I've struck out in a game in my pro career so far. I think it's 7 in 3 innings. But and then just like I would say just each one of my first debuts in like each level. It's just kind of surreal, and it reminds you like you've been working for this whole time. But I would say my best college memory was just the way the game went, was beating Oklahoma State at Oklahoma State in their new ballpark my junior year. That was just – it was a really fun game. The electricity – or it was, everything was just electric that night, from the fans to the game, the ninth inning. Everything about it was fun.
Yeah. But also, do you have a favorite minor league stadium or kind of a couple that stand out?
Ironically, I like Worcester. Corners are a little short, but I love going to Worcester. It's fun. It's a nice ballpark. Try to think. Akron, sleepy, kind of a sleeper, but Akron is a really good. It's a really nice ballpark. In Double A, let me try to think. What else? Gwinnett. We're supposed to go to Durham this year. I've never been. It's later in the year, and I don't want to say I'll be in Durham because I hope I'm not there, but. You know, we go to Durham, like that'll be fun. It's a historical ballpark. We go back to Gwinnett. I just like the South, so it kind of fits me and fits my mold. But I mean, the stadiums you play in now, once you get to AAA, they're elite. I mean, for the most part, they're a big league stadium. But yeah, those are kind of the few that leave a good memory in mind.
Cool. Yeah, those are my last best ones. I'll let Andrew start with the rapid fire round.
For sure. Can I ask though, before we start, like you enjoyed pitching in Worcester? Like the ball flies out of there.
The ball flies in Worcester. Yes. I enjoy it because I mean, credit to you, credit to the guys, to the fans there. It's always packed. And I think as a player, that's all you want. Like, there are certain stadiums that you go to and it's just like, you know, for those 6 games, it's just going to be brutal. Like whether it's stadium or the crowd, like to me, like when I go to Worcester, like I don't necessarily enjoy pitching in Worcester because the ball does fly, especially to right center. but it's always a fun crowd and they're always into it, so it makes for a good time.
Okay, there is some good news for you though. They are building, or they have built, a hotel out in right center. Okay. And I've heard from little birdies at the stadium that it's going to alleviate some of the wind going straight over that Worcester wall, that it's not going to pick up as much because there's a big hotel now blocking.
Oh, right field. Okay. I mean, yeah. Hey, it is what it is. Everybody, it's not, everybody knows it. You know, it's not like, I wouldn't say it's one of those things where, no, I don't hate it. Like, because you're gonna be honest, Buffalo, usually the wind's blowing in. It's a hard park to hit home run in. It really is.
Yeah.
There's pitcher's parks, there's hitter's parks, but no, I mean, I like, and it's a nice ballpark. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, it's a really nice ballpark.
Yeah, I felt bad. I hyped it up to our friend Mike Plassmeyer, and he proceeded to give up one of the longest home runs I've ever seen in my life to Bobby Dalbec last year.
I will say that's another sleeper. One is Lehigh. I like Lehigh too.
Okay.
It's a good ballpark.
I want to go to Charlotte. I don't know if that makes your list, but it's up there.
See, that's, you said, you talk about Worcester being a hitter's park. I heard Charlotte's a hitter's park. But I heard Charlotte's also
city backdrop.
It's, yes. Yeah. I heard Charlotte's one of the best ballparks in minor leagues. So,
okay. All right. That was a lot of ballpark talk. I wasn't expecting that. All right. Now I'm going to get into speed run here. It's random, non-baseball related questions. Okay. Maybe a few of them. I need to know, what's your favorite movie of all time?
Either the hockey movie Miracle about the Olympic team.
I probably watch that about 6 times a year.
Or I'm a big Moneyball fan. I love baseball.
Ooh, yeah.
Love Moneyball.
When that's on TV, I always just watch it. Oh, yeah. All right. Maybe a little tougher one. What's the favorite TV show of all time?
Yellowstone.
That's quick. So I haven't started that. Yikes. I know you gave Jamie your walk, your, you know, your ideal walkout song earlier, but has there been a song stuck in your head in spring training at all? Like on repeat?
Anything Riley Green. I'm a huge Riley Green fan, so I've been rocking out to that album, or albums, I guess I should say, or Luke Combs. But yeah, Riley Green and Luke Combs.
All right, you're a young guy, so I'm gonna adjust this because sometimes, usually we have a lot of 25, 26 year olds on the show.
Yep.
But so by the age of, let's say, 28, you want to have accomplished what?
Hopefully, I mean, obviously, hopefully being in the big leagues and being, you know, I would say by the age of 28, want to be in my third or fourth year in the big leagues. But most importantly, probably have a house and some land that I own.
Down in southern Illinois?
Probably not Illinois, but down south.
Good man. all right. So if there was one rule change you could change in minor league baseball, what would it be?
ABS gone.
I was quick with it.
Not baseball, right. But that's just me.
Okay. Favorite athlete outside of baseball?
See, this is tough because I get the old, I'm a huge Jordan fan, love LeBron though. But honestly, like Bo Jackson, and I know he played baseball too, but to do both.
No, yeah. I know him for football.
It's tough.
Yeah. I know him for football at Auburn. That's like where he's like, yeah. That's just. I'm with you on that. All right. So I need a weird, like, what is one of the weirdest baseball superstitions you've had, or maybe you've seen teammates do in the locker room in professional ball?
Let me think about this.
And if it's somebody else, don't obviously say their name if you don't want
to. Right. Yeah. No. I don't really pay attention to like anything superstitious, to be honest with you. I have a weird superstition. It's not like, I think it's funny. It's not really weird. I rotate gloves if I give up a home run. So ironic, I know. Give up a lot of them. And I'll just keep it. Like, if I go out there and, you know, I'm pitching well, I'll keep the same glove until I give up a home run, and then I'll switch gloves the next outing. I never step on the – I'm not superstitious. It's just something I've always done my whole life growing up. I don't step on the foul line before the game. I always jump over it every single time. Don't – no rhyme or reason to it. Not like you shouldn't step on line. I don't know. I just always jump over it. Even when I'm walking off the field, I always hop over it. If I'm pitching, I hop over it. But yeah, that's kind of, those are my kind of superstitious, but things I do. I also do it with cleats. If I pitch well in cleats, I'll wear the same cleats.
So are you allowed to wear that pair of cleats or glove again in the same season, or once you give it up, like, I can't use it for us a year?
No, I can use it again.
Okay. All right.
I don't cycle through. I'm not that crazy. I don't go through that much stuff.
Okay.
I'll just cycle through the gloves. Yeah, no.
Okay. I didn't know if you were like, hey, I gave up a home run with that one. That one's got to like go home to mom and dad or something.
No,
or it's
gotta
like do something. Like, all right. I figured, just wanted to ask. All right. What's a guilty pleasure of Hayden Yeager?
Oh, Chick-fil-A. That's one. I love me some Chick-fil-A. Man,
that was a question later on that you just already preluded to there.
Where does Zaxby's rank? Is that on the top?
I like it. They don't really have them. I don't really have them at home. It's Chick-fil-A or Cane's.
Okay. Well, it's fair. They have them in Springfield.
But they just built a Raising Cane's in Springfield. And let's just say Raising Cane's definitely is over to Zaxby's in Springfield. That place was popping the whole time.
All right, man. I'm a Zaxby's guy. That was the right answer. I've asked everybody that question that's come on the show so this offseason, and Zaxby's is never getting love, so it's okay.
No, I do think it's good. I will say I do think it's good. But
okay.
That's what I had more times than not my freshman and sophomore year before COVID hit. If I didn't want Chick-fil-A, I would go to Zaxby's. But then they built one in 2021, and it was just more convenient, closer. So,
see, they had two Zaxby's in Columbia, Missouri, so that's where I was going nonstop. So
right.
That actually leads me into my next question I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit.
Yep.
Why Missouri State and not Mizzou?
So Ironically, I wanted to go to Mizzou my whole life. Oh, love Mizzou.
I didn't know this.
Until my junior year, we were facing Edwardsville. I had a couple offer. I had SIUE, SLU, kind of like the local schools around 618. And then that day, particularly, I had Mizzou, Missouri State, Illinois there to watch. Mizzou had told me all these things, and this coach is now in a different school, but I'm not going to name it. However, they were like, you know, they were telling me one thing, and then I pitched. I wouldn't say I pitched great, but I didn't pitch bad by any means. And it was just one of those things where I got offers from Missouri State and Illinois, and I never heard from Mizzou again. Don't hold anything against them. Whatever, you can do what you want. I don't care. It is what it is. But when we played Mizzou, I was like, you know what? No, like this is, I took it personal, whatever. Am I over it now? Absolutely. I don't really care. It doesn't bother me. But back when I was in college, I was like, oh, you know, this is personal, blah, 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 whatever. But no, I mean, that's kind of why the offer was from Missouri State was really, really good. And it was close to home, and my mom and dad, I wanted my parents to be able to come and watch, family come and watch. So yeah, that's kind of why I picked Missouri State.
Yeah, it was more of, I was just, you know, messing with you, but I do, you know, Mizzou could have used a guy like you, obviously. There, Missouri State is a hell of a program for baseball, man. That's like, I know we kind of like troll them for like, you know, we played them in football and like beat them by like 70, whatever, but it's like their baseball program, man, no joke in Springfield, Missouri.
Yep. Yep.
So yeah, I mean, Missouri State, great baseball school.
For sure.
All right. What's the weirdest thing you've had to autograph?
A baby. A baby's like, sure. But they're like, can you autograph the baby? I was like, this is weird. This is weird. That's the first one.
like on the forehead or no, something?
Like on their shirt. Like it was a shirt, but it was a baby. And I was like, I don't feel comfortable doing this right now. This is weird. Also a tennis shoe that a kid was wearing. And I was like, this is also weird, but okay.
Okay. A baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like, was it one of the, like the parents just held it up or was it like a stroller and you like had to go down there?
Like they were held it up. And I was like, I wanted to say no, but I was like, this is weird. I felt weird doing
it. Wow.
All right. I was in that situation. I need a couple seconds to like,
I was just like, wait, you want me to do what now?
Okay, yeah.
It was just a shirt. Like, I'm not like, but it was one of those. I was just like, whoa, that was the last thing I was expecting.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like used to it now. I don't know if you saw Full Swing, the Netflix documentary on the PGA Tour or golf.
Yeah.
And Joel Damon like signing like all those little kids' foreheads. I'm like, dude, people are just like insane these days, man.
They're insane. They are insane. And like one thing that I will say real quick, like as a fan, like you don't realize it. Cause like growing up, all I want to do was just like get autographs like baseball or baseball card, right? I never once thought, hey, sign, you know, this or that, like I whatever. But for me, like once you become a professional athlete, it's like fans are insane. And it's truly like crazy how insane some of these people are.
Oh yeah. I'm telling you, man, I saw it every post game. I don't know if you heard about the legend of Ryan Fitzgerald in Worcester, but the guy would get like, I mean, there was have to be security around the guy, like going off field, because people would be like asking for like his freaking undershirt that he was wearing and like stuff like that. And I'm like, are you asking him to like take off his like white tee under his jersey right now? Yep. Fans are nuts sometimes. Like
they are. They are.
I don't know, man. We live on, me and Jamie obviously live in the Twitter world of, you know, interacting with fans on the daily. And I see why players don't do that. It's a hell of a place, man. I'm going to stick on the food topic here. What is the worst topping to put on a pizza?
So, hot take, I love pineapple on pizza, first of all.
Okay.
So I do like that. but I'm not like when you get into like all like the mushrooms and onions and all that. No, like that's I'm out there. When it's like the meat lovers or anything like that, I'm out. I'm either pineapple or pepperoni, like that's, or cheese, like that. Very simple, cut to the chase. Here we go.
Okay. I'm sure you've gotten in some fights before with the pineapple tape.
Yes, yes. Not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying it's, I like it.
I'll eat it. Won't ever order it, but I'll eat it. All right. I have one last food one. What is the go-to pregame snack?
Ooh. Cheez-Its. Cheez-Its. Yes. Or Cheez-Its or beef jerky.
Okay. That's fair.
They both go to the bullpen with me. Let's keep this very real. They go to the bullpen with me.
So if I see you walk into the over in left field in Worcester, I'm gonna be like, that guy's got some beef jerky or Cheez-Its with him.
Absolutely, gonna have something.
All right, fair.
But I will say also the hot topic for me in spring training, because I've started to notice it at certain places I go, they have Oreos, and so Oreo has been coming with me too.
Are you double stuffed though, or single?
They're just normal. They're just single stuffed. Too much icing gets me. I'm out on
Cheez-Its. Yeah. Kind of makes his stomach hurt a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right, I had one last question of the speed run. It's not really a speed run. It's gone like 10 minutes, but whatever. We're having a good time.
Yeah.
I see you're wearing a golf hoodie, so I'm assuming you're into golf.
I am, yep.
Okay. So hold on. Before I ask this question, I have to see your height. All right, cool. You're 6 foot.
Yep.
So if you had the ability to either, you have to choose one, and it's either you could dunk a basketball consistently in the life, you had the ability to dunk a basketball, or you had the ability to shoot 75 every round in golf, which one are you doing?
Shooting 75 in golf. Not even that. No question.
Yeah, I probably need to like adjust that.
Here's my thing. Yes, it's cool to dunk a basketball. Okay, great. Whatever. Like, is what it is. If you can go out and shoot 75 every single time, like, I don't think people realize how hard 75 is to shoot every single time. If you're going to tell me I'm going to go out there, well, here's the thing. I'm pretty close to dunking a basketball. I'm not close to shooting 75 every single time. And I love golf more than I love basketball.
Okay.
Fair. So there you go. Like, that's my.
All right, I have a rebuttal and then we'll move on, but let's just say, so you're listed at 6 foot. I don't know if that's like accurate
or not. It is a very accurate. I'm not
okay.
Not 6'1 or 6'2. I'm not 5'10. Like, I have 6 foot.
Okay. So say you stayed your height. So you're not, I'm not adding, like, I'm not giving you like 6'2, right?
You're just saying, hey, you have the ability to jump, essentially.
You would probably, if you could dunk every single time you step on a court, you would probably step on the court more often, though.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
But however, I guess the opportunity doesn't come as much as guys being like, let's go golf during the season, too. So
that, and for me, the ability to shoot 75 probably means you're going to, you know, there's going to be some opportunities for hole-in-ones. Let's just.
Okay. All right. I'm with
throw
you.
Throw that out there.
I got to adjust that question for the next person, because I feel like it's just like, it's a no brainer for me. I've shoot 75 all day. I'll take that.
Right.
All right. Right. I'll adjust that in the future, but all right. That is all my random questions here. Jamie, anything before we, kind of empty the bench and, let Hayden go here?
Are you a college basketball guy?
Usually I am. Yes. And I'm in a mini March Madness, whatever you want to call it, brackets, spread pools, squares. I'm in all of them. Yes.
So who are you pulling for this year? Who's your bracket winner?
So, see, this is what's tough. I didn't watch any college basketball games this year. First time in my life, I've never done it.
Wow.
So I'm going in this straight, just blind. I'm not – my bracket winner is UConn. I'm very – you know, I think they are the best basketball team in college. However, I know I'm smart enough not to pick Purdue.
Yep.
The sleeper I have is Creighton. I think Creighton's very good. I also think people, and it's just the way it is, are going to overlook Duke. I think Duke could win it. They're just the natural ability to play those. Yes, I know they don't. They have a rotation of six or seven, whatever. But that's my – those would be my three. Like, I have UConn winning it all in my bracket. I think Houston's going to lose, I think. I think North Carolina – I think it could be a UConn-North Carolina championship, though. I do think that.
I put UConn all in my brackets, too, so I'm in the same boat as you.
Yep.
You guys are bold, just putting one seeds in the – I mean, like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, but I just – I have heard this, like, this year, like, UConn, they take care of business, and usually it's not from the – I don't know. This year, I think it's going to be weird. Some years where there's a lot of upsets, I don't think this year is going to be a lot of upsets. Could be wrong, but I think there's a lot of straightforward wins this year.
Yeah. See, usually I'd go with Kansas, but we kind of suck this year, and we're missing our second best player, so I can't rep the alma mater this year, unfortunately.
Yeah, hey, it's all right.
You know what, Jamie? At least your college basketball team didn't lose 19 straight games to end the season. So that would be the University of Missouri that did that. It's incredible.
Yeah, Missouri State wasn't much better, so it's okay.
It's all good. We're a football school. All right. Well, Hayden, you gave us a ton of your time. I know you hopped on here right when you got back from the drive. So we appreciate the time, man. And we'll be seeing you second series of the year. I'll make sure we got to link up on the field. That's like a known thing for all the guests on the show that they got to come say hello. So around batting practice, I'll be down there and we'll see you, but thank you so much for hopping on.
Yeah. No, thanks for having me. I had a blast. It was good. And no worries about getting home. It was no big deal at all. I actually look.